Thank you.
The living God said through his prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know what I love about that? God is saying he's going to do a new thing for Israel. Not at the beginning of the story. That's when you expect new things. God says this to them right in the middle of the story. He's already done great things. They've already been through many highs and lows. And God says, "I'm about to do something new again. Do you see it? Do you perceive it?" Would you pray with me? God, you are the creator of all. You are more than we can imagine. But there's something about you, Father. You invite us to call you Father. I don't even understand that privilege, but Abba, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for making a way through your son, Jesus. Thank you that I don't have to live in my past. Thank you that you're calling me and the rest of us into a future that you're not surprised by, intimidated by. God, you're ready for us. I pray now that you will give us the opportunity to remember today that you're not even finished with us, that you're just getting started. God, thank you. Thank you that we get to talk about this today. So I ask this now in the name of your son, Jesus. And those who believe, those who are ready, those who are there, all of those people together said, amen. All right, have a seat. So be it. Amen. I've been telling Ben all weekend long, he could stay and play under the whole message. It'd be okay. I think that could work. And every time he gets up and leaves, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but this has been good so far. Let me tell you where we're going. We're gonna go back to a story now that is familiar. We revisit it every few years for obvious reasons. It's just a good story. I wanna show you a few things in this though. It's a story of a people who are on the edge of their future. They're on the edge of making some decisions. And clearly you see two camps form. There are some people who are dreaming big and imagining what God is up to. There are other people who will not consider that at all. There are some people who are saying, "I'm ready to move forward. Let's take the next step." And there are some people who are looking for the nearest exit ramp. Which of those camps do you fall in? That's really the question today. Now, let me set the stage for you. God has rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. This is the big story of the Old Testament. He's done this through supernatural, you call them what you want. They're miracles. There are moments when God clearly says, "These people are mine. They're now rescued. They're out." It's even more than they're out. They are free indeed because God slams the door behind them and just rebuffs and defeats the Egyptian army. And now they're free. If you follow the rest of the story, what will happen is after a long trek through the Sinai Peninsula, they go to a place called Mount Sinai where they receive the word of God, the law of the Lord. This is where they receive the Ten Commandments. For instance, the people are ready to go into the land that was promised to them a long time ago. This was promised to the forefathers of these people. If you look up on the map there, you'll see Canaan or Canaan. What you will see is that's where they are. And so there you go. We're at Mount Sinai, but now they're moving up into a staging area. Oops, wait. They're moving up into a staging area called Kadesh Barnea. And that is an area where they are now sitting there waiting and about to move into Canaan. And what that last little movement was is Moses is now going to send in 12 scouts, 12 spies, one representing each of the 12 tribes, and they're going to check out their new digs. Tell us about the cities, tell us about the land, tell us about the people, the trees, the fields, the crops, tell us about everything. Oh, by the way, bring some fruit back. It's been a long time since we've seen any fruit. And these 12 spies do exactly what they were sent to do. They go, now remember, they all see the same thing. They go to the same cities, the same land, the same people. They see the same stuff. If you measure it out, it's probably about a 500-mile round trip, okay? They're doing this by foot. 40 days later, they all come back, and they divide into two camps. Two different camps see the same thing. Now, the first camp, let me just tell you, is less than optimistic. In fact, I would say here, you pick up on it yourself. They basically say, Moses, there's no way we can do this. Now, we're in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Let me just read this to you. This is their report to Moses in front of all the people. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. That's not literally. That's a euphemism for a really prosperous land. It's, ooh, yeah, you would want to live there, but there's always a but. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. The Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, Websites, and Cellulites, they all live there. It is a very scary land. And what we see is that this goes from the land of milk and honey to the land of no way, thank you, not at all. 10 of these guys are already looking for a reason to not move forward. 2 of the 12, you know, one of them, he's really famous. He's got a book of the Bible named after him, Joshua. He's the protege of Moses. He's the one who will take up after Moses, you know, steps off of the field. But let's talk about his friend, Caleb. Caleb is the other one. And these two see things from a completely different perspective. Notice it says that Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Now, I think that is just, you always look at the details because they're fun. Something was brewing. Caleb already had to tell the crowd to hush up. Now, let's just talk about this for a second. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but negative people in your life like to share their opinion. Have you ever noticed that? They're very free with it. Now, they will tell themselves that they're helping you. They will tell themselves that they're, I'm just trying to kind of, this would be important for me to let you know just how lousy. That's what they do. They, for the life of them, they don't know why everybody runs the other way when they walk into a room, but negative people do that. But now listen to me. We're not just gonna pick on like people who are negative all the time because we're all that way at certain points of our life. Some of you are in the season of that right now. See, I don't know why, but some of us, it's not even about everything. It could just be when that one topic comes up, when that one person comes up, when that one church or that one organization or that one office, that one family, that one, whatever it is. And now you're just the person who goes all negative. Let me tell you something else about negative people. They're very contagious. They just are. You hang out with negative people, it splashes on you. It just does. I'm telling you right now that negative, like snarky comments, biting sarcasm, eye rolls, you know, like really like panicky pessimism, those kinds of things. That stuff will run through a crowd faster than the plague. That's what's going on in our story. There's a mob that's now starting to brew. Caleb has to silence them to even give his side of the report. What does he say? Look at verse 30. He says this, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And immediately he's interrupted by this other group that is so, I mean, they come in and say, we most certainly cannot do it. We don't know what Caleb's smoking, but no, we're not going there. And then they do what we do when the people around us don't get as upset as we want them to get. What do? We start laying it on a little thick and we exaggerate and we go beyond what is technically true. This land devours people. Those guys are giants. We're like grasshoppers in front of them. Now everybody's weeping and a wailing. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, it's an alternative account of this, and you will see it says there, one little phrase, and everyone grumbled in their tents throughout the night. That is not a good way to spend your evening, just grumbling in your tent. They're mad at Moses. They're mad at Joshua and Caleb. They want to stone them to death. They're mad at God. Why did you bring us out here? We should just go back to Egypt. We were slaves. That was better. That's crazy talk. God's had it with them. God's had it with them. But he forgives them. But he also says, those of you that don't believe, those of you that don't trust, those of you that say you want to turn back into the desert, you're going to get your way. That's where you will now spend the rest of your days. You're in the desert. Moses will try it again with the next generation. Oh, plus the two guys who did trust me. Joshua, and what was the other one's name? Caleb. Look at what he says about Caleb. Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. I want God to say that about me. I want God to say, see that kid? He's mine. And he trusts me. And he has a different spirit. This is a story of people who have two different spirits, two different outlooks, two different attitudes, two different sets of assumptions. Now, what can we learn from this as we begin to kind of look back at what God's calling us to do here at this church with this whole campaign that we're in? And you knew I was going to turn that back around to this, right? You're not off the hook yet. We were going to talk about this. But listen to me, that's not even the main reason we're talking. See, if you don't even do anything with that at all, you still need to consider this in a personal way. How are you approaching your life? Which one of those camps are you in? So here's what we'll do now. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to hang out. If you're new here, welcome. We do this. We're about to just kind of have some conversation. Won't be the last time today. But I want you to hang out with some people around you and rate yourself on this scale right here. Give yourself a numerical value right now. By the way, do not cop out and go, well, I think I'm like a 5.5. No. Commit. Where do you trend these days? Go talk. All right, okay, we're gonna keep talking, so just keep it going. We're gonna keep the music going. Here's the deal. Isn't it so much easier to share your number with somebody if you're sitting next to a total stranger? Some of you could just go, yeah, I'm an 8.5. How many of you had to correct your neighbor and downgrade them just a little bit? Anybody? Yeah, it's like, yeah, not so much. All right, so here's the fascinating thing. Two people can look at the exact same thing and see something completely different. It's perspective, it's perception. There's an entire division of psychology that is devoted to this. Years ago, we looked at this. Let's have some fun. Some of these will look familiar. Some of them won't. Keep talking to the group you've been talking to. Ready? Here it is. Tell them what you see. Some of these are much easier than others. Tell them, lean over and tell them what you see. There's more than one thing you can see there. Help them see it. All right, Mid Rivers, how many of you see the lion? How many of you see the lion? Fenton, how many of you see the monkey? How many of you are already confused? Yeah, okay, it's like, I don't get any of this. All right, next one, we're gonna keep moving here. All right, this is a pretty popular one. It's two things there. How many of you see the face? How many of you see the word? How many of you are fibbing when you say you see the word? Let's tilt that word. There it is. Be careful, you're in church. Okay, here's the next one. I love this one. Tell the person next to you, what do you see? The thing everybody sees is the old man, right? Everybody sees the old man? How many of you see the kissing couple? Yeah, just a few. There's a kissing couple in there. Do you see him? So you're like, no, I don't see that. All right, let's eliminate some of the distractions, Kate. Just, there you go. Do you see him now? You're like, no, I just see his nose. No, look again. You see the eyes and the hair? Now take it away. Oh, there they are. They were there the whole time. Which word do you see? Right here, which word do you see? There's two words. There you go. And then my favorite, which way is the cat rotating? Now listen to me, this is a flat silhouette. Which way do you see the cat rotating? Because it can rotate either way. Look at it. Can you make it switch? How many of you here, each of the sites online, how many of you see the cat rotating this way? Okay, how many of you see it rotating this way? Now make it change. Can you do that? You can get your brain to where you can do that. You're like, no, I can't. No, I can't. I've lost complete control. So here's the thing. When I talk to some of you about having a more positive perspective in your life, you're dismissing me as Reverend Feelgood. You think this is a pep talk and you think it's unrealistic. That's like trying to get the cat to rotate the other way. I just can't do it, Greg. I'm just, you know what I am, Greg? People say I'm negative. I'm not negative, I'm a realist. I just tell people the truth. Listen to me. Go back and study the narrative. I love realists. They tell the truth. We need more people telling the truth in this world. But if you go back and you study the narrative, you will see that Caleb does not deny the fortified cities and how impressive that enemy is. Caleb just says, this isn't about me handling anything. I just believe God can handle it. Caleb is living with a word that we haven't mentioned yet, but it is a word you do not want to live without. Hope. It's hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Let me tell you something that negative people will not admit because they haven't even put this together yet, but I've seen it in my own life and I've seen it in other people's lives. Right beneath that negative, cranky outlook is a kind of melancholy. Oftentimes when somebody's really, really negative, if you can get down two or three layers, there's a sadness there. I don't know why it's there. Something happened. There was a disappointment, there was a betrayal, there was a horrible loss, a business blew up, a marriage failed, something happened. And now that person is having a really hard time trusting anything. We all know what that's like. But sometimes we get to a place where we go, wait, I'll never hurt like that again. I'm in a season right now where it ain't happening. And we go into protect mode and we lock the doors, we close the windows, we pull up the drawbridge and we vow, I'm not risking that way ever again, ever again. I'm not gonna laugh. I'm not gonna go deep with very many people. I'm not gonna risk being around those folks. I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna play it really close to the vest. I'm not gonna believe in an organization. I'm not gonna believe in people. I'm not gonna volunteer. I'm not gonna risk. I'm not gonna love. I'm barely hanging on to a belief in God. You think, and this is crazy, but you think you're protecting your heart. You think you're doing the right thing. Listen to me, that is a lie from a dark corner of hell. Because you will not live to your fullest there. There's a better way. How do I live differently, Greg? Let me give you two or three things from Caleb's story. The first is, you've got to remember what God has already done. You've got to remember the faithfulness of God. When we forget what God has already done and blessed us with, our spirits die. It's why scripture again and again and again says, remember, remember, remember. It's like God is telling us and baking it into the story. You have to continually remember and remind yourselves because y'all just forget. That's what God says all throughout the scriptures. When these people are giving in to their panic, Joshua and Caleb, look at what they do. It's a really interesting thing. They say, no, the land is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. The Lord is with us. Now, how can these two people who are, they're seeing the same challenges everyone else is, how can they say that? Because Joshua and Caleb never forgot what God had already done for them. The only reason these people are free is because God had just, and this was not that long ago for them, God had just humbled the most powerful man on the planet in that day, the great Pharaoh of Egypt. And they were there and they were not going to forget God's mighty work. Listen to me, we're about to step into another phase of our future, another era of what God is doing here. And it will be exciting, it will be fun, it will be overwhelming, it will be awe-producing, it will be all of those things. But I'm gonna be really honest with you. It will also be challenging, shocking. There will be moments of disappointment and failure and outright heartache. That's life in this broken world. But for us to have a deeper faith and a more resilient hope, we simply cannot forget the goodness of God and how utterly faithful he has been along the way. The only way we have made it this far is because the hand of God has continually protected and blessed us, and we must give him the glory. About 18 years ago this time, I know for some of you that is beyond ancient history, that's prehistory. But about 18 years ago, we were so excited at this little church because we had $70,000 in a land fund. Now, 70 grand is still a lot of money. But when you think about trying to do things, it was like, but we knew it was a start. So then about 15 and a half years ago, we broke ground on this first facility. About 13 and a half years ago, we moved into phase one here at Chesterfield. About 11 years ago, I took a sledgehammer at the end of a service in our old room and knocked out a wall, and we expanded by 300 seats. Some of you were there for that. About 7.5 years ago, we started the crossing at Fenton, and the way we do ministry was forever changed. Ooh. 5.5 years ago, we did the same thing at Mid Rivers, and the story continues, right? About 2 years ago, we moved in here. Somewhere along the way, something began to happen online. We don't know what it was. We didn't intentionally do this. And some of you think we're making these numbers up. We'll show you the metrics. But when we have hundreds of thousands of people join us online every year from around the world, we don't know what God is doing, but he's doing something. Now, how did all of this happen? Because people of varying levels of talent and commitment and even financial resources all said, you know what, we're gonna do something for people we've never even met and trust that God's gonna show up. Now, is this about numbers? Is this about getting bigger? Is this about money? No, it's about the awesome display of God's faithfulness. It's about people finding out who Jesus is. It's about the beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus being proclaimed. It's about teenagers discovering their purpose and going, wait, God's got a big story for me. It's about 20-somethings getting into the game now. It's about 30-somethings learning how to parent differently. It's about singles of all ages saying, wait, this is how I will live my life. It's about seniors going, wait, God's not finished with me. It's people getting their time and their talent and, yes, their treasure deployed for the kingdom of God. And we should celebrate that. Because, gang, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't happen everywhere. I am not saying this is the only church in town where God's doing something. Please don't say that. But we better be grateful and we better give God the glory for what he's done here, those of us who get to enjoy it, yes? You see, God's, yeah, I'm okay with that. Through really great seasons and through heartbreaks that I don't even want to ever visit again, God's been faithful. He's answered bold prayers. He is up to it. I want you to go back into a conversation. The rooms are going to get awkwardly quiet for like a nanosecond because somebody's going to go, you first. So you be the one, okay? So here's the deal. When was the last time you saw God do something? I was just talking with a friend. We were talking about miracles. And the question is, when was the last time you saw a miracle of God? You know, that's, and he's the one who told me, because that's pretty much, God's in the business of miracles. It's like what he does all the time. We're the ones who get astounded. But what was the last miracle? What was the last moment that you went, you know what, God landed so large, ain't no other way to explain it, but God landed. Because they happen all the time around here. I want you for just a second to brag on God. Now, here's the deal. Because of the church that we have, there are many of you who do not even believe in the existence of God yet. When you hang out with people, you get to very politely go, I am not there yet. You tell me a story. And they will totally honor that, okay? For those of you who rated yourself like at the high end of this thing, go easy on the ones that are at the low end of this thing. You take the lead on this, but for just a second, let's brag on God. Tell somebody a story where God came through. Go ahead, give it a try. We're not even gonna give any music. We're just gonna let you guys kind of talk to each other. Try that for a minute.
Careful hands, they hold us safe within his promise.
That was from a service a couple of years ago, and I just have to tell you, I am so grateful to be a part of a church where we can't keep up with the stories. These are people who have trusted God, and God came through. To God be the glory. That is what next weekend is about. If you come to Chaffetz, that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell stories. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to worship like nobody's business. 100-voice choir getting after it. Hello. Some are like, well, would my kids enjoy it? Your kids need to see God at work. Those of you who are watching online, if you can get here, get here. If you have friends who have never attended, you should invite them. We'll make room. Those of you online, I just want to say one more time, we will not be able for broadband issues. We will not be able to broadcast this live. So if you're thinking, well, I'll just watch it in my PJs, we won't be able to show it to you live. So if you're anywhere near, come join us. And now I'm just going to take a risk just for 1 second, say something I don't think I've said at all in this series, and I will confess to you why I haven't said it. I don't want anyone anywhere to think, if you're watching online, I don't want you to think that when I say what I'm about to say, that I'm going to send you a prayer cloth or anything like that, because that's not what's going on here. But if you have been blessed by what God is doing and you are being captured by this vision that we think we're going into, then I would ask you to prayerfully consider what it means to be a part of this, even a part of this financially, what it means to do this, because we are going to get the word out about the healing, redeeming, powerful, victorious, beautiful name of Jesus, and we're not backing down. But any way you can get here next weekend, you should get here because we're going to do this together, which really is the next thing I want you to hear. It's a word that is used twice in verse 30. Go back and look at this verse because it's there. And the key is he says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb says, listen, it's us. He does not look at these people and say, listen, if you bunch of Marys aren't going to do this, I'll go take care of it. He says, we can certainly do this. He knows he can't do this on his own. We can do this. I'm going to say here, we will have to do this. I can't do this alone. Our church, our staff can't do this alone. I need you. We will do this together. And by the way, I'm not just talking about this campaign. I'm talking about life. Every one of those stories you just saw, those are people who were encouraged and supported and championed by others. We will do this. You understand, it's how we help people to not lose hope. When you lose hope, you will give up on something with which God is not finished. I'm going to say that again. When you lose hope, you will give up on something with which God is not finished. Aaron Beck is one of the leading cognitive theorists, psychiatrists that is world famous for treating depression. Dr. Beck once said, the number one thought that kills marriages is, my spouse will never change. When you give up hope, things start to die. And it's not just marriages. Come on, some of us are facing the financial challenge of our lifetime. Some of us are facing a career thing. Some of us are facing a health thing. And it's like, oh, if you give up hope, your heart will get sick. Some of you these days are in recovery, and it's still hard. Every day it's hard, and you are tempted to give up. Some of you have invested in a friendship or a family member, and it's fallen apart, and you keep giving, and you keep giving, and it's like, God, it's not coming through, and you are tempted to give up. Some of you are single and you are living with a sexual ethic that your friends say is crazy, but God tells you otherwise. Some of you are in a business right now where it seems like every colleague you have is cutting a shady deal and you keep lagging further behind. There are people all over right now who are tempted to give up, to quit, to turn back into the desert. Don't you do it. God's not finished with you. Don't you lose hope. Don't pull away from community. We will do this together. We can certainly do this. Now listen to me. Part of how we will encourage each other is we'll keep telling good stories and good news. That's what last week was about when I gave you that number. It was just, hey, we can do this. Now those folks have done their part. The rest of us will do our part. Equal sacrifice, unequal gifts. You know the routine by now. But can I just talk to you as family for just a second? You've heard about Grant's Trail. You've heard about these partnerships in the city and internationally. You've heard about some of the cutting edge things that we're going to be doing in the future with communication strategies and building pipelines for 20-somethings to be a part of ministry around here. There's cool stuff that's going to happen. We're going to also build some, because we're one church, many locations, you'll see some offices and training stuff being built here at Chesterfield to support all of the sites. I don't have any cool drawings for that. It's just offices. But I would like to tell you something that I think we can all celebrate together, okay? There's a space here at Chesterfield called The Loft. It doesn't get used that much anymore. And we would like to recycle, repurpose The Loft. Now, it's based on two questions. We get them all the time around here. The first one is, do you guys do weddings? And the answer is, of course, we're big fans of marriage, and we have a premarital process, and our pastors set people up for success. It's so cool. We'll help you with that. But then people go, well, where do you like do the weddings? And it's like, well, we got these really big rooms, but they're busy a lot of the times, and so then people are scattering all throughout the community. The other question that people ask is, do you do funerals? Well, of course we do. But I think one of the questions that's being asked, the thing behind the thing there, is people are saying, are you going to take care of my family when they're hurting? I mean, some of our most senior members here have said to me, look, how does that work? So we just began to dream, what if there was a place where we could, kind of a safe private place that could be, it could be for that and for other things. How would that look? So we had our architect and others, just our design team, kind of look at some stuff, and they came up with a chapel that is detached from here on the back of our property, because we still have property here. What would that be like a wedding funeral chapel, maybe a retreat? Said, oh, that'd be great. They showed me the sketches. They were gorgeous. We looked at it for like, oh, I don't know, 2 minutes and a cup of coffee. That's about as long as we looked, because it was expensive. Like, really expensive. And it was, we're going to be good stewards with God's money here, so that ain't happening. Went back to Art Kuiper, our director of operations, who's kind of overseeing all that, and said, Art, will you just kind of help us with this and go back to the architect? And so what they came up with was, well, what if we took the loft and repurposed it? What if we closed off the staircase, if you've been in there? What if we used really affordable materials, believe it or not, kind of lowered the ceiling, made it more intimate? It won't look anything like it looks now, but it can be a place that it would be a sort of a place for all sites to kind of use for funerals and for weddings, and maybe for offsite visits for campuses to come together and say, hey, we just want a private place where we can just kind of do our thing. Wouldn't that be cool? And it didn't take very long before somebody on the team said, well, could we give this to other churches too? Could they use it? And you go, well, what does that mean? We had a call last week from one of the churches that we're mentoring and working with in the city who said, Chesterfield is just about far enough away for us to feel like we're at a retreat. It's far enough away. Do you guys have like a space where we could hang out for the day and dream and plan ministry? What if we use that? This is what they came up with. And by the way, it's $2 million less than a chapel, hallelujah. But you see that? And you can close that off over there. It's about 200, 250 seats. Will this serve all of our families at all of our sites? It could. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we want to minister to the generations. Could it serve others in the community? I think so. If you pay really close attention to this vision, all of this now is to serve the rest of the community, and now we're back into the story. God gave them the land, not just for themselves. God gave those people the land so that they could be a blessing to others. They were to be a beacon of light in a very dark world, to call people to seek the one true God. They were to be difference makers and change agents, but they missed it. They missed it. Could that happen to us? It could, but they missed it. Caleb and Joshua were overruled, and they missed the opportunity. Now it's 45 years later. A new generation steps into Israel. It's a completely different crew. Joshua is in charge now. He's a military genius. He defeats the kings to the south, the kings to the north, and the land lays open to Israel, but it will take some settling. There are pockets of opposition that are still there. After centuries of slavery, after decades of wandering, after years of hard fighting, the hour has now come for them to settle the land. And God says to Joshua, now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years. Thanks, Lord. I mean, by the way, you know you're old when God says you're old. There remains yet very much land to possess. What God is saying to Joshua is, man, I have done so much for you. I'm not finished. You're not finished. Tell the people they're not finished. Get ready. We're going to settle the land. People have asked me in recent days, well, aren't we being a little greedy? Shouldn't we just, I mean, God's done a cool thing. Let's just coast. God's not finished with us. God's not finished with St. Louis. God's not finished with this world. God's not finished with this campaign. Some people might be thinking, wow, after that number last week, we can get Grant's Trail built. Let's just call it a day. Let's remember why we're doing this. We're going to be a blessing to the land, to the people, to the community. We're doing this because we know there are safe places that were made for us to consider these claims of the gospel. We know that there are people out there whose names we don't know who can still be blessed. And when I say people whose names we don't know, let me put a different spin on it now. When I say we will do this for folks who we haven't met yet, I'm talking about your grandkids and their kids who haven't even been born yet, some of you. I'm talking about people who haven't even stepped into this yet. I'm talking about our legacy. When you get to the middle chapters of the book of Joshua, what you will see is that they divvy up the land. Don't have time to go into it, but the land varies. Coastal plains to mountains, from valleys to wilderness, and each tribe is given their assignment. And here we are, here it is. And then Caleb shows up. Caleb, the old and mighty warrior, Caleb. On this weekend, we should be thankful for old and not so old warriors. Amen. But this old warrior shows up to his buddy Joshua. And what does he say? He does not go up to him and say, you and I were the only two who believed in God, so cut me a deal. I want an easy piece of land. I don't want to fight anymore. I just want to hit something here in the valley. No, you know what he does? He points up to the hill country where there were old enemies still living. And Caleb says, give me the hill country. In fact, this 85-year-old man, this is why he's my hero, says, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Now give me the hill country. God gave me an assignment 45 years ago. I want it. Give it to me. You want to talk about a legacy? Caleb's grandkids and their kids would tell this story for generations. My grandpa trusted God, and our world is different. I want somebody to say that about me. I want him to say it about you and about this church. Yes, God has blessed us. Yes, something happened here, but he's about to do a new thing. And when people say, you're crazy for dreaming that big, you're crazy for saying you're going to give that money in those areas, I want people to be able to trace back to those of us who said, there was a people who said, I'm not going back. We're moving forward. God's going to do something that will echo for generations. Give us the hill country. Why? Because marriages still need to be healed. Because singles still need to be encouraged. Because there are kids in grade schools and high schools who are fast losing hope, and they need to be reminded God has a place for them in his story. Because people of all ages need to be reminded of second chances and that grace is real, because they can find the same Jesus we have found. Why are we doing this? Because our families will be able to tell this story for generations. God is about to do a new thing again. Do you see it? Which camp are you in? Will you consider what God might do? I'm going to ask you to pray for me this week. Pray for me. And some of you are like, I pray for you all the time, man. Some of you are like, well, I was praying for you about 5 minutes ago to settle down. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your heart. Pray for our church that God does a mighty thing. Pray, and then let's come back to shape. It's one more time. One church, many locations under one roof, and it will barely stay on. God, do a mighty thing. Show us the intersection between grace and joy and sacrifice and faith. God, do something the likes of which we have never seen, and we promise to give you the glory. Amen. It is said in the early church that after the benediction, sometimes the worship, I'm not going to do this because it would freak you all out, but sometimes the worship leader would run through, I kind of did do it, didn't I? Would run through the crowd and say, go, go. So convinced were they that God, who had moved into a world he loved, was not afraid of that world, that they were sent into that world, that they would remind each other, now it's your turn, go, go into this world. So I say to you, go, but don't just go, go with hope. Go knowing that God has a place for you in this story. Go knowing that you have been invited into a very big picture because God is still up to something. Go. Why? Because he has made me new. Because he is making us new. Go.